Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with veteran Delaware-based jazz pianist Ray Joswiak. We caught up with him about his latest 2025 album, simply called Ray's Music, and his career in the world of music. His newest release is an album full of instrumental songs exclusively with lots of in-depth improvisation. He has been playing music forever, but not as his sole livelihood. He is now retired and more creative than ever. His personal tastes in music do not fall in line with that of the public in general. Between 2010 and 23, he reveled in the opportunity to make music with musician friends as OHO in the sacred tradition of that formidable Baltimore area musical collective, which still informs his music today. It's a great story, wonderful road that he's been on. Enjoy this interview. Well, hey, it's great to meet you. I'm looking forward to getting into the music. I dove into the album, finally found everything I was looking for. So I'm looking forward to getting into the conversation.
Okay.
So let's begin our journey with this. 6 years ago, this pandemic was changing our lives, especially for musicians. How did you get through that era? And how has it changed the way that you create and do things today?
Fortunately for me, and unfortunately for me, I didn't count and don't count on music for any kind of monetary reward. So at the time, I was playing in a rock band. And of course, that affected playing and making a little bit of beer money. But other than that, I do all my recording in my home. And I do all my creating in my home on my baby grand, which is right here behind me. There it is.
Yeah, beautiful.
So you know, and I remember the one club we were playing. He was a musician too, and he said, you know, it kind of destroyed his creativity, and we played a lot as a duo, and my partner felt the same way, that it kind of destroyed his creativity. And I thought, wow, you know, for me it was the opposite. It was like, okay, now everybody's staying in, so I'll just stay here and concentrate on my creative endeavors. So that's how I got through it. It wasn't too awful for me.
You know, I kept thinking during that time that there was, not only did we have the pandemic, there was so much crazy stuff going on, you know, as if we thought it could get any crazier than it is right now with everything that's happening. But it seemed like those were the Bob Dylan moments. That if you're a creator, those are the moments that you capture what's happening around you. Because we hadn't seen anything like that for decades. I mean, we'd have these episodic things that would happen. I mean, there was, in the 80s, there was weird things that happened with Reagan and the Challenger. And even in the 90s, there was, you know, very slight, like low-level wars, but nothing like the pandemic. And surrounding it, the information, the misinformation, there was so much that was going on as a creator that had to infuse you.
Yeah. I'm sure it did. And I concentrate a lot on instrumental music. So, you know, you may feel that, you may not. I mean, it's so subjective how somebody perceives an instrumental piece of music.
Yeah.
Were there any good like singer-songwriter compositions that came out of the pandemic? I can't say I really remember any.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are, and I just didn't catch them.
Yeah. Well, and I think it was more about just keep it on. You know, there was a lot of people, and there's a lot of stuff that's coming out now that I'm interviewing with, especially jazz musicians, where it all was a direct result of living through that. It took them a while to groom it and package it, revisit it, because it was done a while back. But it seems like there was a lot of things that were getting created. So you said that music is one of those things that it's not your bread and butter. Is there another vocation that you have, a day job or other things that you do other than music?
Well, I do music mostly, other than enjoying myself. I'm retired now.
Okay.
But I did work in the shipping industry for many years. Retired in 2018. That's when we moved to the beach.
So let's go back to your beginnings here. What made you want to get into music? What was the motivation? What were the musicians? Why did you pick music?
I've always just loved music. You know, I loved the earliest things I remember were like top 40 songs, novelty songs that were on the top 40, and people like Peter, Paul, and Mary. I just always loved it. You know, it was always drawn towards it. So there wasn't even much of a thought process. This is just, you know, I want to do that. So I did. My first formal music training was accordion lessons, which I took for about 10 years. But as silly as it might sound, it taught me a lot of music theory. And of course, it taught me the keyboard. And that's the basis for so many things in music. I did have to work on my left hand when I got a horizontal keyboard instead of the accordion.
Yeah.
But I've just always loved it, which is why I spend so much time doing it now. And I can kill a lot of time here just playing this, trying to notate something, or working on a production. I use Logic Pro, and producing things is challenging, but so much fun. So there's always something that I can do.
Seems like it's almost a version of mental health when you can create, you know, when you
can. It really is.
Yeah. You know, I was in Eureka Springs last year with my wife, and we were in a bar, and there was a band that came in, and all of these guys had to be in their probably mid-60s, late-70s, Empty Nesters, and they were just playing covers of tunes, you know, whether it was Tom Petty or whatever it was, kind of that rock ilk realm. And I thought, you know, those are the people. You know, we get all hung up on all these young, glossy pop and rock stars, but those are the people, to me, that are the real backbone of the music world. They could easily not do that anymore. I mean, you're not getting paid that much. You're hauling equipment in and out. You know, there's a lot of work that goes into it. It's just a lot. But when you keep that dream going, and I just kept thinking, these are the ones that had that dream, just like Mick Jagger, who still gets the chance to do it in front of an enormous amount of people, but he's still doing the same thing like these guys are. Whether or not mm-hmm. they're in front of 20, 100, or 50,000 people, it's like, I think it's all about keeping that dream going and always doing something that you've loved from the word go.
Yeah, that is very true. Very true. And that's, you know, all different aspect of music, the cover tunes, and I mean, places like here, nobody really wants to listen to a guy that creates his own jazz on a piano. People in the bars around here want to hear cover tunes that they like. You know, they want to sing along, you know, they want to party, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's just a different avenue. It's a different part of the whole music thing. But I think you're right. It's still the dream.
Yeah. Well, when I went up to this guy that was playing in the band, he was a jazz guy and his son was in jazz. So he gave me his card and I played his jazz music on the show. But his bread and butter, the way that he gets his beer and he gets his like on the side accoutrements, is by playing cover songs. And that's kind of the bigger metaphor of jazz, is that jazz tends to get pigeonholed and it's not the thing that most people go out. Now in Kansas City, it's a little bit different because there's a lot of, it's Kansas City. It's known as one of the cradles of jazz. A lot of people go out and see it, but I know that there's a lot of other areas, like tourist areas, where they're not going out to see jazz. They're going out to see other genres, you know?
Very true.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of live music, do you remember the first live show that you saw that blew you away, that made you think, I want to be up there one day, I want to do that?
Probably the first big concert that I went to, which was probably Chicago in the 70s, I guess.
Yeah.
And I love the early Chicago stuff. I mean, they're still doing a great job, but that early stuff was so radical to me. Plus it had elements of jazz in it.
Certainly.
And, you know, they were all talented guys. Yeah, that blew me away.
So that was Peter Cetera. That was the original lineup.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's great stuff. There's a documentary on, I think, Hulu or one of those things called Yacht Rock. And it's like Steely Dan, Chicago, Doobie
Brothers. Yeah.
Have you seen that? Have you heard about
that? No, I haven't seen the show. I know Donald Fagen hates Turner.
Oh my God. He read that guy the riot act at the end of that documentary. But it's But the thing is, like, Kenny Loggins and all those guys were in it, and they all embraced it. I mean, it's like it's a new generation embracing that style. But what Chicago and those guys were doing at the time with the jazz elements, the ECM elements, and all that, they were really amalgamizing, I think, what even Miles Davis was trying to do later in his life. He was trying to kind of evolve this art form into all these different elements that could be construed as rock and funk and pre-R&B and all of those things that just made it a tastier assemblage of audio delights, so to speak, you know.
Yes, indeed.
So let's get into Ray's Music. That's your latest release. Talk to me a little bit about this album. What was your vision? What were you going for?
My vision was to do all instrumentals with a virtual band, and I can improvise on, the chord changes to any standard that I know, or my own stuff. 7 ways till Sunday, and just enjoy the hell out of it. So, I tried to get some good performances down, and put together a little, it flows different, some kind of different styles in there. And what else did I want to say about that? Yeah, that was essentially the vision. Pretty simple, but it's a good taste of what I do here in the house.
So, what year did you start really making music and focusing on it?
Well, would that be performing in front of
Yeah, or like
an
being in a studio or
audience?
releasing recordings. When did you get serious about doing this?
I wanted to, and I still write lyrics, I wanted to write pop music that other artists would cover. That was kind of my desire in the maybe late 80s, and I
Okay.
started doing that. Yeah, and again, I can play some of those songs that I enjoyed, and make them into a little jazz piece. So that was like a serious start in like documenting what I was doing, and trying to be creative, and doing that while working full time. I remember many late nights I was in the basement with some kind of a recording device after we put the children to bed and my wife went to bed, and if she listened hard enough, she could hear the keyboard clicking. Or I get up early every day and work on a song that I was doing. So yeah, that was the beginning there. I played, used to play in front of people. My aunt was involved in something at her church, so they had a big Mother's Day show every year. And once I played the accordion there, I played that one for many years. But it was a big kick to play in front of people who enjoyed, a little guy playing the accordion.
Well, so you've been at it for decades. The reason why I kind of wanted to know the beginnings of this is that right now we're going up against this behemoth known as AI. And there's actors and actresses and musicians and songs that are all AI driven. Do you worry about AI kind of taking over things? Where do you see AI in the pantheon of recorded and live music?
It certainly is a worry as far as employment goes. I don't worry about it affecting me too much. And I don't fully understand how they create a whole song from AI, not knowing anything about music. I don't fully understand
Weird.
it. And I haven't listened to a lot of it. I feel like I've heard one decent product of it, and then I've heard some really bad stuff too. So yeah, I think anybody who does make a living with music probably should worry about it more than I really have to at this point in my life.
I have a day job too. I come from the IT world. So whenever I remember the early days, my friend showed me Google and we were doing a search. And it even made sense to me then. Like I understand that there's just all of these different websites that exist and you're calling it together. The thing that's crazy about AI is it's pulling together the entire mass of human intelligence and knowledge, right? And so that's why, to me, whenever I type something into something that's ChatGPT, I'm like, what am I going to get? Because it's searching everything. And I think when it comes to like music, it's just taking every note of music that exists, or every song or every lyric, but it's still weird. That is weird. Like, a filament, a light bulb is still kind of a stretch, but really taking something from thin air and making a song out of it where you're like, wow, that could sound like a human being would do it. That's strange. Very strange. You know.
I don't know. Will they be able to refine it so it becomes something of an art? I mean, it does seems to me there's no art involved. It's purely technical.
There's not. And that's the thing. I think, you know, years ago, like in the 80s, we used to always, or in the 70s, they'd all be like, keeping it real, man, just keeping it real. And we're getting to that point now where that term is more paramount than ever. I mean, because when it comes right down to it, people are going to know whether it's real or not. Now, successive earlier generations that are born today may have a real hard time of separating that line. But from our generations, between this kind of like 30 to 80 realm, we're going to know if it's real or not, and we're going to be able to pick it out. So we won't have to worry about it, but successive generations are going to have to worry about that originality in art, you know? So
Yeah.
it's weird. It's
And
very weird.
it's a shame that people are using that to create music. They're going to compete with people who maybe aren't technical at all, but they're putting their heart and soul into creating music manually. So it doesn't seem fair that they're able to compete in the same realm.
Yeah. Well, there's right now, there's an actual actress in Hollywood. Her name is like Polly something, and she's completely AI driven. And you don't have to pay them. They're always on time. They never miss a line. And actors are livid right now. And it's that thing, too, that's going to become a part of some of this manufactured music, elevator music, so to speak. They could plug jazz in and just get something that would pass the time, but it's going to cut into real musicians. Anyway, that's a whole other thing, whole other topic. So I'm curious with you, what is it that's pushed you all of these years to create music, to love being a musician? What do you look forward to every day as a musician?
There was a point, maybe in the 90s or so, where I finally liked listening to what I did. Because all before that, you're just struggling to learn more and to become better. So, I mean, they're both pretty neat in their own way, but there was a point where it's like, I like what I'm doing. So that kind of drives me. So I like what I'm doing, and it spurs me on to do more things, different things. I'm trying to strengthen my left hand. I'm trying to learn about, I haven't delved into it too deeply yet, but I'm trying to learn about Indian classical music, because just like jazz, it's practically all improvisation. It has some more strict rules to follow than jazz improvisation, but it's a lot like it. So that fascinates me.
Yeah.
All the ragas and the different sounds that you get, and then of course with my jazz sensibility, I incorporate it into what I'm doing on, standards or my own music, and don't even realize I'm doing that. So that's just it's fun. It's just fun, and it entertains me.
Yeah.
And I'd like it for it to entertain people as well, which is why I keep putting it online.
Absolutely. So at the end of the day, why do you love jazz? Why do you love this art form we call jazz music?
I think it's really neat that it truly is American classical music, much like the Indian music. That people don't all view it that way, especially classical musicians who are, from the European style. But it's America's classical music, and it's just so creative, and it encompasses so many different styles and moods and sounds now. And like Miles Davis, you brought him up. What a great guy to, I mean, maybe he was commercially driven too, but he was just driven to create something new, incorporate what the kids are enjoying, change the music. It's so many different. You could hear Miles Davis from the beginning, as you well know, and then towards the end of his life, and you might not even know it's the same band or the same man. So
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and
that
he went
drives.
through so many different changes throughout his career too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. kind of like Elvis Costello in the pop world. He's done so many different things. You might not even know it's him, but he's always searching. He's always searching.
Absolutely. So I'm curious, if you could get into a time machine and go back in time and see one jazz show, one band, one performer, one place, where are you going? What do you want to see?
I'd love to have seen Eric Dolphy.
Yeah.
Especially playing the bass clarinet. Something about the range of that instrument. It's peaceful for me.
Yeah. You know what's fascinating about Eric Dolphy? I interviewed a musician at one point, and it was about bird sounds. And she was explaining to me in one of his books how he would go out, and literally his practice was to mimic the whistles and the sounds of the birds.
That's correct.
Which is fascinating because, you know, that's the reason why Mother Nature will always prevail. No matter what we do, we're following a lead of something that is Mother Nature. That's probably why AI eventually, ultimately, will not ever outdo anything, because Mother Nature will always be there.
Yeah, yeah. That's encouraging.
Yes, for sure. So let me ask you this. Everyone has a perception of you, family, friends, fans, everyone that knows you, but you run the show. What's your perception of you? Who do you think you are?
Who do I think I am? Personally, musically, or?
Well, we all play these roles in our lives. We have all these pockets of people, like people that see you play music live, people that get your music and stream it or buy it, you know, people that you used to work with, your family, your friends, everybody sees you in a different light, but you're the ultimate driver of who you are and what your persona is. So what's your perception of what you're putting out into the world?
I'm not really sure what to say.
That's an answer.
It's a
in
good
itself.
Question. It's a good question. One that I would probably have to think about a lot more.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I guess I'm perceived as an honest guy. You know, I like to laugh. I like to put humor in the music. But other than that, I can't think of anything in great detail about who I am.
That's an answer in itself. Latest album is streaming everywhere. If anybody wants to pick up your music, catch you live, any of the other good business, where do they go?
Well, Ray Joswiak, RayJoswiak.com is my website. But all of my albums, I'm up to 12 now, I think. You can hear how I've changed it over the years. They're on Spotify and Amazon and things like that. Not playing live a whole lot now, but I do play occasionally with a good friend of mine from Frederick, Maryland, who is a singer-songwriter, but he can't play the guitar much because of arthritis. So he took to writing poems, and he took to writing beat poems. And then he put a trio behind him to play along with the beat poems. So he does some rare things, but he always calls me. We have drums, an acoustic bass, and myself on piano. And Rod Deasy is the man's name. He has a couple of poetry books out there. Roderick Deasy is his name. He's British. So that's one place that I will appear with him when I'm asked.
Very cool. Well, I will put all these other links to your music in the show notes. It was wonderful to meet you, Ray. Thank you so much for taking a minute out today. Best of luck with everything.
Well, thank you so much, Joe. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks for listening and tuning into another Neon Jazz interview. We give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in Baltimore, Delaware, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Ray for swinging on by the show. If you want to hear more Neon Jazz interviews, you can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to us at YouTube. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.